At ease. No military term. At ease. Actually, you'll probably turn down a little. This morning's sermon is called The Eternal Word, from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, as we begin our journey through the Gospel of John, through this amazing book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We will most likely spend the whole year of 2025 in this book. We will be spending the next 7 Sundays just in chapter 1. I hope you're ready for this journey. The Apostle John wrote this book when he was in his 90s, during the 90s AD. The Apostle John was one of Jesus' closest apostles. He was one of the original apostles of the Lord. He wrote this book 60 years after Jesus had come and gone. Just before John completed this gospel, he wrote this. He said, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." That's in John 21, 25. John doesn't mention himself by name throughout his gospel. He often refers himself to the disciple that Jesus loved. John is known as the apostle of love. This is a salvation book. This is a heavenly book, a heavenly look at our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose for John writing this gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. He is God in the flesh, and by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. John writes 7 I am statements of Jesus to make his case that he is God, and he tells his story as an eyewitness of all these things. He was there. He wrote in his epistle, his first epistle, he said, "We saw, we heard, we handled, we touched the Lord, and what we tell you is true." In the Old Testament, God used the name I am, as many of you know, to identify himself as Yahweh, God Almighty. And Jesus uses the same title as God in the New Testament. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life." He uses the same title as God the Father. John's gospel message to us, as we'll find out in these 5 verses, Jesus is God. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. And without him, John writes to us, you cannot have life outside of Christ. That Jesus is the only Lord, Jesus is the only Savior, and he is the only hope that we have. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us. John's gospel message, the eternal God himself has become flesh and lived among us. The Creator has become part of the creation. And why? So that He may save sinners from their sin, death, judgment, and eternal hell. That's why He came. For His love, for His creation. His amazing grace, His amazing love, that He would send His Son to die on the cross so we could go from dead in our sins to alive in Him. Let's begin our journey through the Gospel of John. I'll read these five verses and then discuss it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Amen. Five verses with so much meaning. Five verses. I could spend 2 hours just on these five verses. Luckily for you, it's communion. So I'll go shorter. Let's take a look at verse 1 and 2. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God." He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. So John gets right to the point, right away, to let his readers know. He says, listen, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Right away, he starts out with a declaration. Jesus is God. He identifies Jesus as the Word. The Word is none other than Christ. He is the Word of God by revelation. Notice John, he wrote the Word three times in these two verses. He wrote the word was four times. John wants to make sure that you and I fully understand this declaration right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John is declaring that Jesus already existed before creation. He wants his readers to know that. He is not a created person. He always was. He's eternal, right? He's outside of time. He's eternal, everlasting to everlasting. He always was. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, the one who has always existed. John wrote in the book of Revelation, when he wrote the book of Revelation, when he says, I was in the Spirit and I saw a vision. God opened up his eyes to the spiritual realm so he could see Jesus. And he wrote in Revelation 19, 13, he says, Jesus was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19, 13. John also wrote, he says, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. So, how could Jesus be God and be with God? Right? It's a head scratcher. How can Jesus be God but be with God? Because they are one God. They make up one God. God is one God manifested into three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the triune Godhead. Three persons, all in one God, all with three separate roles, but same deity, same power and same nature. They make up God. The scriptures are very clear as we read through that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Listen, he's fully God and he's fully man. Fully God, fully man. Jesus said, "He who has seen me," he told his disciple Philip, "he who has seen me has seen the Father." John 14:9, because we are one. Now, I know this can be hard for us sometimes to wrap our heads around this. How can this be? I'm going to give it to you in simple terms. In simple terms. Some of you may know this already. Think of a hard-boiled egg. Right? You didn't see that coming, did you? Think of a hard-boiled egg, right? You got the shell, you got the protein, and you got the yolk. But they make up one egg. Right? They make up one egg. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make up one God. That help you understand it maybe a little bit? Maybe not. Maybe I confused you. Same thing. Right? The shell, the protein, the yolk, they make up one egg. They're all an egg. Many false religions deny the deity of Christ. They preach that he was a prophet, or he was, some of them say he was a god, little g, which is blasphemy against the Lord. They preach this in some of these false religions. They deny that Jesus is God. The only one who can save them, they do not know. They do not know. The Apostle John, Saint John, he wrote in his epistle, he said, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is God in the flesh." John wrote, "This is a deceiver and the Antichrist." Second book of John, chapter 1, verse 7. And all these false religions are still deceiving millions of people. You know who's behind this, right? Satan. He is behind all these cult religions, all these false teachers, these false apostles. Satan is behind all those cult religions who deny that Jesus is God. They preach a gospel that's straight out of hell. John said they are deceivers. They are the Antichrist. John wrote, Jesus is God. He's part of the Trinity. Jesus, as you read through the scriptures, he claims to be God. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who is, he who was, he who is, he is to come." He says, "I am the Almighty." Jesus said that in the book of Revelation. Now, God the Father said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42:8, he says, "I will not share my glory with another." So if Jesus isn't God, why is Jesus using God's titles? This would be blasphemy. Jesus uses the titles of God because he is God. He's God in the flesh. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 8, God the Father, he calls God the Son, God. The Father calls the Son, God. I'm going to read it to you. Hebrews 1:8, it says, right? It says, "But to the Son, he says," God. Okay, God the Father. "But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God." The Father called Jesus God. "Oh, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." He's talking to the Son. We recently read in our Christmas service that we recently have, Isaiah 9:6, right? It says, "For unto us a child is born," that is Jesus, right? "Unto us a son is given," Jesus, "and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The scriptures are very clear. Jesus is God. He is God in the flesh, the second person in the triune Godhead. If you have anyone come knocking on your door telling you that Jesus isn't God, you need to go to these scriptures so they can come to the truth. Amen? So they can come to the truth. Those false religions that knock on people's door, they don't know the scriptures. They just have a dialogue. We need to bring them to the truth so they can become saved. And look at verse 3. John goes on to write this, very powerful. Look at verse 3. And all things were made through him. And without him, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. John wants us to know that all things literally means all things. And without him, John writes, nothing was made that was made. Only the eternal God is uncreated because he is eternal. And without him, nothing was made that was made. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always existed. They are eternal. And they made, John writes, they made all things. They made the heavens. They made the earth. They made everything on the earth, including us. They made the sea and everything in it. Scripture's clear on that. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want to share a passage with you from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. If you brought your Bible with you, go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. I want to share a scripture with you. Proverbs, chapter 8. I'll let you get there. You still hear the pages rustling around. Which is great. Nothing like being in church and you can hear the scriptures. Right? Amen? Oh, man. Right? Oh, there goes the word of God. Yes, speak, Lord. I'm telling you, I love hearing. Let's get the scriptures out. What happened in the days where everybody brought their Bible to church, right? Everybody. You wouldn't dare to come to church 100 years ago without your Bible. Do you see those old Bibles we have over here, over 100 years old, these big things? You see them in there? Those people were serious about God. Look, you see those Bibles? This is like a little mini Bible. Those guys wouldn't come to church without their Bible. Look at this. Proverbs 8, verse 27 through 31. Listen to this very carefully. I'm going to start. Verse 27. It's not on the wall. You had to bring your Bible. All you use are pew Bibles. Listen to this. When he prepared the heavens, okay, Jesus, I was there, says the Father. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he, Jesus, assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters could not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations on the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I, the Father says, daily was his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Amen. Interesting, huh? Highlight it. This could be a testimony of the one who was with the Word when all things were created. This could be the testimony, right? It sure does sound like it. We know the Holy Spirit was there, right? Genesis 1, 1 and 2. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So all three were there, creating all things. Listen, creating all things through Jesus Christ. Powerful. John wrote back to our gospel, all things were made through him, through Jesus, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So let's take a look at this. So John, the first thing that John declares to us in this passage, he says, Jesus is the eternal God, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And the second thing that he declares to us in this passage, all things were made through him. He wants you to know. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So when we talk about Jesus Christ, our Lord, we're talking about the eternal God, creator of all things. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he declared too, he says, Jesus was the one who created all things. This is no surprise to us. Paul wrote to the Colossians, and he said, for by him, Jesus, all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth. Listen, visible and invisible. He created all the angels, all the things we can't see, the spiritual realm, he created. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He says, all things were created through him. And listen to what he writes at the end. And for him. All things were created by him and for him. That's very important to understand. Jesus made all things. Now listen. He made all things for him. Now you guys have heard me say this before. You and I were created for God. We were created for God. All things were created through him and for him. That means you and me as well. You were not created for you. You were not created for you. You were created for God. God made you for him. God made you for him. Not for you. And listen to this. He made you for him, for his good pleasure. Revelation 4:11. He made you for him, for his good pleasure. That he could delight in you and how you live your life. You were created for his glory. Isaiah 43:7. He says, you were not only created for God, he made you for his good pleasure, and he created you for his glory. For his glory. Powerful. You know what? As Christians, until we truly understand this, it's going to be hard to do God's will. Amen? Until you truly understand that you were made for God, he made you for him, until you fully understand that, it's going to be hard for you to do his will. We were created by him and for him, and as believers in Christ, we need to understand this as we live out our lives. And look what John writes in verse 4. Another powerful statement. Powerful. Four words. Look what he starts out with in verse 4. He writes, in him was life. In him, Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. This is powerful. Four words. In him was life. He didn't get life from someone. Nobody gave him life. He was life. He is life. The life John is talking about in his gospel is true life, spiritual life, everlasting life. That's the life he's talking about. And we can only find everlasting life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Period. He gives life. He sustains life. all things are held together, the Bible says, by him. All things consist, which means held together by him. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is life. Jesus declared this in John 14, 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he who has the Son has life as well. He who has the Son has life. And the one who is life became the light of men. Jesus came to be the light of the world. And his light leads to life in him, just as the scripture says. We were once sitting in darkness, every one of us. We were once sitting in darkness prior to coming to Christ. And Jesus came, he turned the light on and said, you can have life in me. He spoke into our dark hearts and said, let there be light. And we became saved through him. Hallelujah. He spoke. The day you cried out to the Lord and surrendered your life to Christ, he spoke into your dark heart and said, let there be light. And the process of becoming born again started, which is sanctification. Because he made you for him. He didn't make you for you. And as believers in Christ, we are to walk in the light. Jesus said, he told us, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine in a dark world so they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In verse 5, our final verse, John wrote, he said, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What is John talking about? Glad you asked. I just happen to know. The light represents Christ. The light is such a powerful force. God's light began to shine in the world, it says, but the world did not comprehend it. Some translations say, or overcome it. Didn't know how to handle the light. Surely the darkness tries to overcome the light, but it cannot. Right? It cannot. Light and darkness are two separate forces, but the light is stronger than the dark, right? We know we get home right in the night and put the light on, it goes the dark. Right? Light will always overcome the dark. Have you ever lost power in the middle of the night? Pitch black? You light a small little candle. Lights up the whole room, right? The light will always overpower the dark, just like Christ will always overpower darkness. Jesus is the glorious light of the world, and he said this, I am, using God's title again, right? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Before I close, I just want to repeat to you the purpose of John writing this gospel. The number one purpose is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. He's God in the flesh. And by believing in him, you can have life in his name. This is John's purpose. This is why he wrote this gospel. He wants you to know Jesus is God and you can have life in him. A powerful gospel. All right, there's five verses into this amazing book. And so much information about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just the beginning. We're going to be in this book for a year. God willing. Maybe longer. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly into our hearts this morning, Lord. We thank you for this. We ask you, Lord, as we continue to go through your scriptures, that you continue to speak to us. You'll open our hearts and our minds to your word, that we could grow in your word and grow spiritually, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.